Marley's ghost bothered him exceedingly. The ghost had warned him of a visitation when the bell tolled one. He resolved to lie awake until the hour was past. The quarter was so long that he was more than once convinced he must have sunk into a doze unconsciously and missed the clock. At length, it broke upon his listening ear. 1:15, said Scrooge, counting. 1:30, said Scrooge. 1:45, said Scrooge. The hour itself, said Scrooge triumphantly, and nothing else. He spoke before the hour bell sounded, which now it did with a deep, dull, hollow, melancholy one. The curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge, starting up into a half-recumbent attitude, found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them.
"Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming I was foretold to me?" asked Scrooge.
"I am."
The voice was soft and gentle.
"Who and what are you?" Scrooge demanded.
"I am the ghost of Christmas past."
"Long past?"
inquired Scrooge, observant of its dwarfish stature.
"No, your past. Rise and walk with me."
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. The city had entirely vanished. Not a vestige of it was to be seen. The darkness and the mist had vanished with it, for it was a clear, cold winter's day, with snow upon the ground.
"Good heaven," said Scrooge,
clasping his hands together as he looked about him.
"I was bred in this place. I was a boy here."
He was conscious of a thousand odours floating in the air, each one connected with a thousand thoughts and hopes and joys and cares long, long forgotten.
"Your lip is trembling,"
said the ghost.
"And what is that upon your cheek?"
Scrooge muttered, with an unusual catching in his voice, that it was a pimple, and begged the ghost to lead him where he would.
"You recollect the way?"
inquired the spirit.
"Remember it? I could walk it blindfold."
"Strange to have forgotten it for so many years. Let us go on."
They walked along the road, Scrooge recognizing every gate and post and tree, until a little market town appeared in the distance, with its bridge, its church, and winding river. Some shaggy ponies were now seen trotting towards them with boys upon their backs, who called to other boys in country gigs and carts, driven by farmers. All these boys were in great spirits and shouted to each other until the broad fields were so full of merry music that the crisp air laughed to hear it. They left the high road by a well-remembered lane and soon approached a mansion of dull red brick. Upon entering, they went, the ghost and Scrooge, across the hall to a door at the back of the house. It opened before them and disclosed a long, bare, melancholy room, made barer still by lines of plain deal forms and desks. At one of these, a lonely boy was reading near a feeble fire, and Scrooge sat down upon a form and wept to see his poor, forgotten self as he used to be. The spirit touched him on the arm and pointed to his younger self, intent upon reading.
"I wish,"
Scrooge muttered, putting his hand into his pocket and looking about him after drying his eyes with his cuff.
"But it's too late now."
"What is the matter?"
asked the spirit.
"Nothing,"
said Scrooge.
"Nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should have liked to have given him something. That's all."
The ghost smiled thoughtfully and waved its hand, saying as it did so,
"Let us see another Christmas."
They were now in the busy thoroughfares of the city, where shadowy passengers passed and repassed. The ghost stopped at a certain warehouse store and asked Scrooge if he knew it.
"Know it?" said Scrooge. "Was I apprenticed here?"
They went in. At sight of an old gentleman in a Welsh wig, sitting behind such a high desk that if he had been 2 inches taller, he must have knocked his head against the ceiling, Scrooge cried in great excitement,
"Why, it's old Fezziwig, bless his heart! It's Fezziwig, alive again!"
Old Fezziwig laid down his pen and looked up at the clock, which pointed the hour of 7. He rubbed his hands, adjusted his capacious waistcoat, laughed all over himself from his shoes to his organ of benevolence, and called out in a comfortable, oily, rich, fat, jovial voice,
"Yo-ho there, Ebenezer! Dick!"
Scrooge's former self, now grown a young man, came briskly in, accompanied by his fellow prentice.
"Dick Wilkins, to be sure," said Scrooge to the ghost. "Bless me, yes, there he is. He was very much attached to me, was Dick. Poor Dick, dear, dear."
"Yo-ho, my boys," said Fezziwig. "No more work tonight. Christmas Eve, Dick. Christmas, Ebenezer. Let's have the shutters up," cried old Fezziwig with a sharp clap of his hands, "before a man can say Jack Robinson. Clear away, my lads, and let's have lots of room here. Hilly-ho, Dick. Chirrup, Ebenezer."
In came a fiddler with a music book. In came Mrs. Fezziwig, one substantial smile. In came the 3 Miss Fezziwigs, beaming and lovable. In came the 6 young followers whose hearts they broke. In came all the young men and women employed in the business. In came the housemaid with her cousin the baker. In came the cook with her brother's particular friend the milkman. In they all came, one after another, and the dancing commenced. When the clock struck 11, this domestic ball broke up.
"What is the matter?"
asked the ghost.
"Nothing particular," said Scrooge.
"Something, I think?"
the ghost insisted.
"No, no. I should like to be able to say a word to my clerk just now, that's all."
His former self turned down the lamps as he gave utterance to the wish, and Scrooge and the ghost again stood side by side in the open air.
"My time grows short,"
observed the spirit.
"Quick!"
Again, Scrooge saw himself. He was older now, a man in the prime of his life. He was not alone, but sat by the side of a fair young girl in mourning dress, in whose eyes there were tears. She left him, and they parted.
"Spirit, show me no more! Conduct me home. Why do you torture me?"
"One shadow more."
"No more, no more. I don't wish to see it. Show me no more."
But the relentless ghost pinioned him in both his arms and forced him to observe what happened next. They were in another scene and place, a room not very large or handsome, but full of comfort.
"Belle,"
said the husband, turning to his wife with a smile, "I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon."
"Who was it?"
"Guess."
"How can I, Tut? I don't know,"
she added in the same breath, laughing as he laughed.
"Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his office window, and as it was not shut up, and he had a candle inside, I could scarcely help seeing him. His partner lies upon the point of death, I hear, and he there sat alone. Quite alone in all the world, I do believe."
"Spirit," said Scrooge in a broken voice, "remove me from this place."
"I told you, these were shadows of things that have been."
"Leave me,
take me back. Haunt me no longer.
Scrooge was conscious of being exhausted and overcome by an irresistible drowsiness, and further, of being in his own bedroom. He gave the cap a parting squeeze in which his hand relaxed, and had barely time to reel to bed before he sank into a heavy sleep.